The Voice in Speech and Song, Chapter 9, Persuasion Through Speech. Sanctified Speech, the Greatest Blessing. Of all the gifts which God has given to man, none is more noble or a greater blessing than the gift of speech, if it is sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It is with the tongue we convince and persuade. With it we offer prayer and praise to God, and with it we convey rich thoughts of the Redeemer's love. Peace in the heart. We should show by our daily lives that we have peace and rest in God. His peace in the heart will shine forth in the countenance. It will give to the voice a persuasive power. Communion with God will impart a moral elevation to the character and to the entire course of action. Kindly, cheerful approach. Approach the people in a persuasive, kindly manner, full of cheerfulness and love for Christ. No human tongue can express the preciousness of the ministration of the Word and the Holy Spirit. No human expression can portray to the finite mind the value of understanding and, by living faith, receiving the blessing that is given as Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Persuasion for soul winning. The power of persuasion is a wonderful gift. It means much to those who would win souls to Christ. Power of the personal experience. When one has received the truth in the love of it, he will make this manifest in the persuasion of his manner and the tones of his voice. He makes known that which he himself has heard, seen, and handled of the word of life, that others may have fellowship with him through the knowledge of Christ. His testimony, from lips touched with a live coal from off the altar, is truth to the receptive heart, and works sanctification upon the character. Love and sympathy. The most persuasive eloquence is the word that is spoken in love and sympathy. Such words will bring light to confused minds and hope to the discouraged, brightening the prospect before them. The time in which we live calls for vital, sanctified energy, for earnestness, zeal, and the tenderest sympathy and love, for words that will not increase misery, but will inspire faith and hope. We are homeward bound, seeking a better country, even an heavenly. Instead of speaking words which will rankle in the breasts of those that hear, shall we not speak of the love wherewith God hath loved us? Shall we not try to lighten the hearts of those around us by words of Christ-like sympathy? A reservoir of persuasion. A conscience void of offense toward God and man, a heart that feels the tenderest sympathy for human beings, especially that they may be won for Christ, will have the attributes that Christ had. All such will be imbued with his Spirit. They will have a reservoir of persuasion and a storehouse of simple eloquence. Weight of evidence. God is presenting to the minds of men divinely appointed precious gems of truth, appropriate for our time. God has rescued these truths from the companionship of error and has placed them in their proper framework. When these truths are given their rightful position in God's great plan, when they are presented intelligently and earnestly and with reverential awe by the Lord's servants, many will conscientiously believe because of the weight of evidence, without waiting for every supposed difficulty which may suggest itself to their minds to be removed. Greatest rebuke to error. People cannot be expected to see at once the advantage of truth over the error they have cherished. The best way to expose the fallacy of error is to present the evidences of truth. This is the greatest rebuke that can be given to error. Dispel the cloud of darkness resting on minds by reflecting the bright light of the Sun of Righteousness. Reasoning from the Scriptures. It is not excitement we wish to create, but deep, earnest consideration, that those who hear shall do solid work, real, sound, genuine work that will be enduring as eternity. We hunger not for excitement, for the sensational. The less we have of this, the better. The calm, earnest reasoning from the Scriptures is precious and fruitful. Here is the secret of success. in preaching a living personal Savior in so simple and earnest a manner that the people may be able to lay hold by faith of the power of the Word of Life. One point at a time. While the teacher of truth should be faithful in presenting the gospel, let him never pour out a mass of matter which the people cannot comprehend because it is new to them and hard to understand. Take one point at a time and make that one point plain, speaking slowly and in a distinct voice. Speak in such a way that the people shall see what is the relation of that one point to other truths of vital importance. The Sabbath School Worker. Sabbath School Worker, which will you meet, the standard of Christ or that of the world? Oh, will you say, I will lift the cross and follow Jesus? Will you not cultivate his tenderness in persuasion, his earnestness in exhortation, and exemplify the exalted principles of the truth, manifesting in life and character what the religion of Christ has done for you? Shall we not all heed the exhortation of the Apostle? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The message, not the man. The minister who has learned of Christ will ever be conscious that he is a messenger of God, commissioned by him to do a work both for time and for eternity. It should not be any part of his object to call attention to himself, his learning, or his ability, but his whole aim should be to bring sinners to repentance, pointing them both by precept and example to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Self should be hidden in Jesus. Such men will speak as those conscious of possessing power and authority from God, being a mouthpiece for him. Their discourses will have an earnestness and fervor of persuasion that will lead sinners to see their lost condition and take refuge in Christ.